Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle
Young with For His Glory Ministry. We welcome you today.
Welcome
to our ministry, and we're teaching through Hebrew eyes. We will examine the Bible through the culture, customs, and traditions and teachings of God, in which you'll explore revelatory truth that'll change your life now and forever. Today we're studying the first resurrection, a study in Revelation chapter 20. Now, this came about through some teaching that Danielle had heard in relation to the tribulation time period, whereas we both understand, and much of the church, that it is a pre-tribulation rapture. I believe the study of the Jewish holidays, which we have on tape, the Holy Days of Israel, at our website, forhisglory.org, you'll get more information about that. Teaching we did on the rapture, which is also available as a tape series through our ministry, forhisglory.org. And we'll give you all that further information at the end of the show. You'll find out with Jewish understanding that the church of the living Lord Jesus Christ is going to be taken out of this world, all true believers, meaning all believers, all right, in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, no matter who, every tribe and nation and tongue and people, will be taken out of this world before a seven-year time period known as the tribulation time period. Yes, Danielle?
I've heard many teachings that it would be a mid-trib rapture or a post-trib rapture. Are you going to explain to us a pre-trib rapture?
We've done that in effect before in our teaching on the rapture in depth. We've done another aspect of it earlier on a radio show where we did that the last trump is not the last trump, or also known as trumpet. Today we're going to attack another aspect of this year by developing a more biblical understanding that it's my view that has been in error by the mid and post-tribulationists. Wonderful people, but they've gone askew in an understanding of this, and we'll develop it out carefully.
Can you explain to us exactly what mid and post-trib mean?
Sure. Just picture the tribulation being a seven-year period spoken about in Daniel 9:27. And in Hebraic terms, the 1 week represents 7 years, which is expounded upon with a deeper understanding of the book of Daniel and how that works out. And that goes beyond the scope right now, but it's a seven-year period, and the rapture, or the being taken out of this world, is either, depending on one's viewpoint, before the seven.
That would be pre-trib.
Pre-trib, in the middle of the seven.
That would be 3.5 years into it.
Correct.
That would be mid-trib.
That would be mid-trib or post-trib.
Which is after the whole 7 years.
Typically after, but it's commonly construed as right at the very end, or some would say shortly before the end of the seven-year period.
Okay.
And there's some variations on those themes, depending on who and what the positions are. Let's go right to Revelation 20. People, that's in your Bibles at the end of the Bible. It's the last book of the Holy Bible of God. Revelation chapter 20, verses 5 and 6 are the ones in question.
Revelation 25. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years.
Great. So this is the first resurrection, and this is commonly understood by some as the rest of the dead did not come to life, and the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. So it's saying, well, see, the first resurrection could not be a pre-tribulation rapture because it says, by virtue of the fact of the verse, at a surface read, the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. Now, if we look at the verse before, we see, if you look at the whole chapter, ideally, an angel comes down out of heaven in the first verse, takes Hasatan, which is Hebrew, the adversary, with one hand, and the other hand has a key of the abyss and a great chain. Then he takes, as it continues, this dragon, the serpent of old, the devil, who is Satan, and binds him for 1,000 years, throws him into the abyss, locks it, chains it, and no longer, thank God, no longer can he disturb the nations until 1,000 years were complete, and then is released for a short, thank God, short time. And then 4 says, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. Those are the saints of God people. And the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received the mark upon their forehead and upon their hand, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So that's after the tribulation period. Then it says the rest of the dead did not come to life, what Danielle read earlier. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. And then it says 6 again, blessed and holy is the one who has part. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, we did a radio show a few months back called Learning How to Learn, and Danielle and I outlined 15 steps on what to do. 7 of those are who, what, when, where, why, how, and...
how does Jesus have to do with it?
Exactly, 7. How does Jesus fit into the text?
Right.
How does it honor him? Or how does it show those who are opposed to him or don't know him? What is the relationship to Yeshua, which is Hebrew for Jesus? And see that clearly. And you must ask all the questions, number 1. Number 2, study the text in context, number 2. Number 3, look at it from Genesis to Revelation, from the first to the last, the entire biblical truth from the beginning to the end, and see it clearly. Now, while we've read verses 5 and 6, and the question, if you're just joining us, deals with the first resurrection, let's go to verses 12 and 13 in the same chapter and get more information. Then we'll look at 11 to 15 more completely. 12.
And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds.
One more verse we're going to do, verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one according to their deeds. Now, in context, you go back to verse 11. We just read 12 and 13. We're in Revelation 20, 11 to 15, and get the flow of that context, starting at 11.
And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. That was 11.
That was 11. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. People, that is very, very serious. So when you look at that carefully, whatever your viewpoint is, that's a final state. That's an end point. That's a terminus. That is it. So we need to make decisions in life. And I want you all to realize in the sound of our voice, wherever you are in the world, that every day is a miniature life. Every day is a miniature life. And in that day is a piece of all that life contains. You don't know if you have tomorrow. You do know you have now. Don't let today go by and become a yesterday, because for some, tomorrow is not going to come except somewhere else. I need you to make right decisions that'll count forever. And please take heart to that today and now.
In verse 15, where it says, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This is irreversible.
It's irreversible. It's a final state. So decisions that we make, people, are also, in ultimate terms here, decisions for God or against are forever. And if you notice carefully, going back to 12 and 13, that they were judged according to their deeds, and you don't see anyone according to the works of their own hands that are saved or that come to God. Because by the works of the flesh, no one is justified. Flesh meaning out of their own life and doing. Because it's by grace, and grace alone we're saved. Not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a pure act of what he has done. So the way to heaven, and more so the way to a relationship with God that's true and everlasting, is through works, but it's through his works, the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, which now are finished works. So it's faith in his works, which for us is an act of grace by God alone.
And our part in all of this is to make the choice.
God gave us the right to choose.
He said to choose life and not death. So our part is to choose life, choose him.
Yes, and if somebody chooses that which is not God, God doesn't send anyone to hell. His desire is that you go to heaven. What happens is he will respect your will.
Your wish.
So if you say, my will, God will say, well, then you're saying, not my will, but your will be done. And he then says to you,
well, let it
has
be
been
your
given
will.
A right.
Yes.
And you choose, and your choice is your life decision. Mm-hmm. That's an awesome responsibility, but it just shows you how much God thinks about you to give you the right to choose and honors that decision, even though it's not his.
Yes.
Please remember that. In his sovereignty, he has sovereignly given you and I sovereignty over our choices.
Yes.
Which is why, as conscious, sentient, rational beings, we have the full responsibility to respond ably to what he has already given us.
Yes.
Now, we're studying the first resurrection, a study in Revelation 20. When we looked carefully at verses 11 to 15, which Danielle and I read together, you see the setting is the great white throne judgment, which is at the end of the millennial or 1,000-year period, representing the reign of the Messiah. Now, the first resurrection is to be understood as first in the sense of before. This is going to clear up a lot of problems, and you'll see this is the position as mentioned in Dallas Theological Seminary's 2-volume The Bible Knowledge Commentary in volume 2, page 980. So well note, the first resurrection is not understood just as first, and we'll develop this in a moment, and first of which there's no antecedent, although the word is commonly used as such. It's first in relationship to that which comes after, that first is before that. So first before that which comes after, or second. Now, how does this play out? It should be quite obvious that the first resurrection occurred, depending on how you calculate, 32, 30, 32, 33 A.D., when the Lord Jesus Christ himself was raised bodily. He was resurrected from the dead. The Bible is replete with verses to that effect. If you look just to one to make the point in 1 Corinthians, that's in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. And I will read it. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruit after that, those who are Christ's at his coming. Christ is the first fruit. That's interesting. He is the first fruit of a new order, he's the first fruit of the saints. And first, and then it must be second, third, fourth, fifth, and so on, which thank God includes us. And we pray it includes you too. We do pray and include you also, please. And if you have questions about salvation and your soul, please feel free to write to us. At the end of the show, have a pen and paper ready, something to write with. We'll give you our mailing address, all right? Danielle will give it to you now and also at the end of the show. Write to us at For His Glory.
At 2183 Buckingham Road.
Like the palace.
Number 145, Richardson, Texas, 75081.
That's For His Glory. 2183
Buckingham Road,
Suite 145,
Richardson, Texas,
75081. 751 75081. People is too important, and your life is too important to us, and infinitely so to God. So we're looking at Revelation 20, if you just joined us, and you find that it talks about the first resurrection in verses 5 and 6, but people, it can't be in the sense that that is when the first resurrection begins. Because back centuries, Christ is the first fruit. And he himself was raised in 1 Corinthians 15:23. He's the first fruit, number one. Then we have another event in Matthew 27. And I'll ask you all to turn with me because you must become very, very familiar with God's text, the Holy Bible, his only authorized book in the world. Chapter 27, verse 53. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, which means what? Christ was resurrected already. And in Matthew 27, 53, again it says, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. This is interesting. I'm going to go back a verse and tell you the setting. Christ was crucified. He is raised. And we have the tombs of many righteous people being split open. Look at verse 52. We'll go back to 51 for context. We're in Matthew 27, 51 to 53. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. And the tombs were opened, and many what? Bodies. People, this is a bodily resurrection. Not just spirits or apparitions, as some might wrongly think, but many, and God puts it in here, answering the question before it comes up. And the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, which is a biblical term for death, were raised. That is resurrection. So we're back to Revelation 20. Verses 5 and 6, and it appears to some that the first resurrection is after the 1,000 years and the dead were raised, and it says this is the first resurrection. Read the whole Bible. Get the context. Let the Bible explain itself. God expects us to know the whole counsel of God. So let the pictures fill in. Put the pieces together. Don't add, don't delete, don't change. It says many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. First, Christ was raised. Mm-hmm. That's the first resurrection. He's the first fruit of many being raised on that very same holiday. First fruit. All right? First fruits, actually, Yom HaBikurim. All right? So he is raised as the first fruit, first of many in order. And here, right after, the tombs of many, the temple veil is rent from heaven to earth, top to bottom. And historically, they can never put it back together. It was at least, according to Josephus, 4 inches thick. Teams of horses could not pull this veil that was inside the temple apart. And once it was rent, it was rent. And you find in Hebrews, the Lord himself makes the representation in this holy text that his body was the veil that was rent for us. So as his body was split in two and ripped apart, torn to pieces, so the temple veil, of which he is the living temple, the physical temple's veil, which represents his flesh, was ripped apart, providing access for us to come into the Holy of Holies unto God with grace, to receive grace and mercy to help in time of need.
The veil that was rent was the veil, the door,
yes,
to the Holy of Holies.
Exactly. It separated compartment 2 from 3 of the 3 compartments.
Okay.
The outer, then the holy place, then the Holy of Holies, or the holiest place.
Okay.
In which resided the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat on top of it with the blood of the sacrifice on top of that. And that veil was rent for the first time,
mm-hmm,
and the last time, by he who is the first and the last, Jesus Christ, from top to bottom, from heaven to earth. A very telling story. And the Jews, historically, had tried to put back early on, tried to put back together that
throw
veil.
It back, you mean?
Never could.
Mm-hmm.
Never could. Repair. Now, sewing is not a difficult art.
No,
but
it
for
isn't.
Some reason, and obviously God reason, they could not, because it is finished. Wow. It is done.
That's great.
That's the truth, and that is truly great. So the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. They were in bodily form. They were dead. They were raised. That is known biblically as resurrection. So you have to ask the question in Revelation 20, how can that be the first resurrection when you see Christ himself raised as the first resurrection? Then we have many of the saints raised right after by the Lord in their bodies. It's a bodily resurrection. Therefore, you're looking at series of events that are part of this event known as the first resurrection. Then we have the pre-tribulation rapture of the Messiah, the so-called out ones, the church who are raised again, as we taught before, and follows perfectly the model of the Jewish wedding. They are raised before the tribulation period. Then, in the middle of the tribulation period, in Revelation 11, 8 to 12, we have another resurrection, but this one is a mid-tribulation event. Take a quick look with me at Revelation chapter 11, verses 8 to 12, and you'll see, starting at 8, and their dead bodies will be in the street of the great city, which is called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. So emblematically, that's clearly speaking of Jerusalem. And you see 9, 10, 11, and 12. I'll ask you to read it through carefully, but I'll go to the key point here in verse 11. And after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God came into them, and they stood. They stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon those who were beholding them. This is a bodily resurrection of the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11, verses 8 to 12, that occurs in the middle of the tribulation period. Therefore, we have several events occurring. We have the event occurring where? Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Then we have those who are what? Raised right after, where the temple veil is rent.
The dead in Christ.
Exactly. Well, these ones are the saints that have fallen asleep.
Yes.
And the tombs are open. They appear in bodily form. They're raised bodily and appear to many on the streets. You're talking about the saints of old.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then you're going to go to the middle tribulation. And yet the two witnesses raised at the 3.5 year of the 7-year time of what's called Jacob's trouble. Jacob's name also, if you remember, was changed to Israel. It's synonymous with Israel. This is the time of tribulation that will come upon a whole world. But it's really the primary focus is on earth dwellers and on God's holy people, the Jew and the holy city, as Daniel 9:24 points out. Shavuim shavim nechtach alam chawali rakat shecha. 77s are determined upon your people and your holy city. Then after that tribulation, the martyred saints of the tribulation are raised. Revelation 20, that was read earlier to you, verses 4 and 5. All right, I want you to get that flow. Again, Jesus Christ is raised first, depending on your study, from 30 to 33 AD. Then the tombs are opened. Many of the saints had fallen asleep. They're raised then. Then pre-tribulation. What happens at the pre? The saints of God, the church. That's not a building, people. That's a body. Those are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we follow him with all our heart and soul, and our life and bodies are his. Mid-tribulation, the two witnesses are raised, Revelation 11, verses 8 to 12. Then Revelation 20, finally we're up to verses 4 and 5. That's why we read the whole Bible. We see the martyred saints of the tribulation are raised. Then the Jewish saints are also raised by this time or at this time. You do Daniel 12, verses 2 and 3. And Revelation 20, verse 6. And when you put that all together, that was Daniel 12, verses 2 and 3, and Revelation 20, verse 6. Now you have a flow of the first resurrection that is not one event, but is a series of events which occur before the first resurrection, contrasting it in Revelation 20. the last resurrection, before this final resurrection of the wicked, of those that go into the second death, mm-hmm. contrasting the first being everything that occurs before that final resurrection of the wicked at the end of the 1,000 years. And I hope you're getting it. Study this carefully. We love you. In Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, we say until next time,
Shalom.